Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
الله أكبر والعزة لله ولرسوله والمؤمنين بإذن الله ركوا الطيار ركوا ركوا الطيار
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر والعزة لله
Welcome all my critically thinking vagabonds to another live edition of the Daily Wrap-Up. I wanted to begin today by showing a quick one-minute video that was put out by Syriana Analysis, which if you haven't heard me talk about them before and you haven't checked out his work, I highly recommend you check out his work on YouTube and his website. I will be sharing his link in the show notes when I'm done to both the video and his Patreon page, and I highly recommend you check out his work and support what he does, because he is easily my go-to for information on what's going on in Syria. Not to say that he's the only person I watch. As I always tell you, we need a large, you know, wide array of multifaceted, challenging each other's ideas about Syria or any topic for that matter. But he does excellent work and really does keep an open mind on what's going on and inform you on his opinion as well as the facts that are going on. Now, the video we just saw, and for those that might be tuning in just now, you'll can see it on the replay or scroll back. I know you can do that on, I make sure you guys have the DVR accessible, you know, ability on the scroll back so you can check out the video. But what it's showing you there is ISIS on the ground. That's their video taking credits, basically screaming, you know, God is great about the Syrian plane that was shot down by Israel. Showing you two important things. One, that ISIS was present right then as it got shot down, in essentially clearly verifying that ISIS were the people that were being attacked by the Syrian airplane that was shot down, the jet. Showing you they were there, right there on the ground, or at the very least, that they're right there along with the Israeli forces that shot down that plane. Showing you that they are cheering the concept of the Syrian plane being shot down by Israel. And we have to understand that the context that we're hearing from Israel is that the Syrian plane flew into what is technically even still Syrian airspace, the illegally occupied Golan Heights. Nonetheless, Syria says the opposite, that they were in fact still in their airspace, but on the other side within their current airspace that was essentially fighting ISIS. That is verifiably, as we know, has been protected and funded and even given medical aid by Israel within the Golan Heights. And so this video is profound, in my opinion, simply because it shows you their video cheering what happened right there on the ground as the plane is still burning after it got shot down by Israel, who was protecting ISIS, who was being attacked by the Syrian forces. So I'll let you take that video for what you will, but I found that to be pretty profound. Again, I highly recommend you check out Syriana Analysis and the work that he does, because it is excellent. And he really does do his due diligence and goes over a lot of different important information in regard to Syria and other things as well. But that is an important video that I think we should share. And I think it really gives us an overarching concept for today's show, really understanding that the information's out there. It's all out there. If you really want to see it, to really understand what's going on and not just be lost in the propaganda and the misinformation being spread by those who have an agenda to mislead you in regard to U.S. foreign policy, in regard to just geopolitics in general, in regard to what's going on with Israel, in regard to what's going on with Saudi Arabia and Yemen, and all these different stories that are being actively misrepresented by the media, if covered at all. And the information's there if you simply have the eyes to see it. And that's a very important thing to understand. So we need to branch out, as always, and look at a lot of different facets of news today, and be that mainstream, independent, and just a wide array of all of them, and truly challenge those ideas, regardless of what you currently think, and regardless of what you think may be a lie, regardless of how the lies may be presented, or how the information may be presented. We need to look at everything and truly analyze all of it critically, even the stuff you're hearing from me, regardless of how much you may trust me or how much you may doubt me. And there's a story that I'm going to finish with today that also kind of dives into that same concept about things, confirmation bias in general. We all have it, myself included. We seek out information we feel represents what we think is the truth. But even in that context, we need to challenge our own ideas and ask if maybe we could be mistaken. Even in things we think are outlandish, never be closed-minded to a concept. Open your mind to it, analyze the facts, come to a informed decision about what you're looking at. Super, super important. So let's jump right in for the first story of the day. A very important article coming from mintpressnews.com in regard to Yemen, and something that you guys know I'm very passionate about, and I think that we all should be, because it is currently one of the largest stories going on today, getting absolutely zero coverage from the mainstream media, as there are many things. The article entitled Saudi Airstrikes on UNICEF Water Facility in Yemen Compounds, compounds cholera risk. I've said that incorrectly. Saudi airstrikes on UNICEF water facility in Yemen compounds cholera risk. Now, the important aspect to understand in this before we even get into the information is this is a U.S.-backed Saudi coalition airstrike. We cannot underplay the relevance of the United States presence in what goes on with these airstrikes, with what goes on the ground, with the targets they choose, with the actions they take. The U.S. has a direct role in what's going on here, be that through funding, be that through people on the ground. The U.S. backed Saudi airstrikes on these water facilities, and it will show how it's drastically compounding the cholera risk and how that's absolutely the intention of what's happening here. So four Saudi warplanes launched airstrikes against the UNICEF-funded Al-Sayed Water Network, destroying water pumps, an electric generator, and a nearby solar energy system, and I guess a guard room, which I didn't see any information on what that necessarily meant, if there was some kind of a military compound as well, which could play into your decision on what this all means. But regardless, the water pumps are the real point here, at least as far as I see it. Now, much of the facility was destroyed in the attack, leaving thousands of residents of the Al-Safra district in Yemen's Sa'ada, and I believe I'm mispronouncing that, but I think it's Sa'ada governorate, including internally displaced families without clean drinking water. Very important. Mohammed Kamal, an engineer with the National Foundation, which operated the water network, said in a statement to Mint Press News, Saudi airstrikes targeted the main well of the water network, as well as the pump room, the generator, and the solar room. This water project was providing more than 25,000 people in the district, as well as 20 villages around the district, with clean drinking water. It was completed at a cost of $650,000. And for a place like Yemen, prior to this outright assault, was already to spend $650,000 on this is a big deal. The United Nations Children's Fund strongly condemned the attack, saying in a statement released on its website, quote, a large water facility in Sa'ada, northwest of the country, came under attack this week. This is the third such attack on the same facility. Point being, it wasn't an accident. Targeting this water facility more than once. More than half of the project is now damaged, cutting off 10,500 people from safe drinking water. Continues to say, continuous attacks on water systems in Yemen are cutting off children and their families from water, increasing the likelihood of waterborne diseases spreading in the war-torn country, which is absolutely verifiably the point of why they attack these areas. There's really no other logical reason. And that's what we've gotten into in many past episodes. How they take these actions to hurt the civilian population under the guise of what, fighting Iran, I guess, or some Iran-backed militia. This is a water facility. There's no misunderstanding what they're trying to accomplish here. The U.S.-backed, Saudi-led coalition. Local Nashua resident, 35-year-old Asham Ali. Now, I love how Mint Press News importantly always does. This is a real person. This isn't anonymous sources say or somebody on the ground. This is a local Nashua resident, 35-year-old Asham Ali, told Mint Press News, quote, four airstrikes targeted our water network, our only source of water. Where are we supposed to get water for our children, he asks. The attack has left as many as 5,000 children, specifically, without water. The U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition has repeatedly, systemically, and deliberately attacked water and sewage treatment infrastructure in Yemen since it began its military campaign against the country in 2015. According to the Legal Center for Rights and Development, an organization that tracks Saudi Arabia's violations on international law in Yemen, 727 water pumps and tanks have been destroyed since 2015. That is not a coincidence. The latest attack comes amid a second wave of cholera that has killed thousands of Yemenis. Contamination of water resources, as well as a lack of access to clean drinking water, like we're seeing here, are the main cause of the cholera epidemic, almost entirely continued and stoked by the Saudi airstrikes and their actions in general. According to a recent report from the World Health Organization issued on July 20th, Yemen is suffering the worst cholera outbreak in recorded history. Now, just let that sink in for a moment, as I have no doubt most of you in here tuning in already generally know this if you're a regular viewer of this show. But we're witnessing potentially one of the largest genocides in history, with upwards, likely much larger than over 10 million people potentially on the verge of dying by the end of the year. More than one institution, whether you're talking about the United Nations or plenty of other people, have acknowledged that is a real possibility, with thousands, hundreds of thousands of people already died. And we're looking right now at one of the worst cholera outbreaks in recorded history due to the actions of the U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition in Yemen. There's no denying the facts there. The only question is why the media is ignoring this, which I think we already know the answer to that question. You have to understand that they are blatantly ignoring this, even the group that pretends to be anti-Trump. If they really wanted to call Trump out for hurting immigrant children, here's a pretty damn good example of murdering Yemeni children. But they don't talk about it. You know, and I could drive this point home 20 different ways. I mean, I could recommend probably 15, 20 different shows I've done in the last 2 months that dive into this specifically. But as you all know, there's plenty of information going around. As I said in the beginning, if you simply look at it, what's really going on around the world is pretty damn atrocious at the behest of the U.S. government, largely with our tax dollars in your name around the world. We can't be okay with that. That's something we have to continue to speak out about. We have to realize that this is partially our decision to be able to allow our money to be used this way. Doesn't mean it's, you know, individually right now our fault, because we're, those of you in the chat, myself speaking out, we're trying to stop this. But the reality is we have to get people to pay attention to this collectively as a whole. Just like we're seeing people kind of collectively lash out about the horrendous things we're seeing in Hollywood today, which I just did a longer show about yesterday. That's independent of politics. That's independent of bills they pass and things they say. The people simply stood up and said, this is no longer okay with us. That has to happen from U.S. in regard to U.S. foreign policy. Thank you for the super chat. Beast Burn, I believe, is your name there. I appreciate the super chat. Thank you. Your guys' donations go a very long way. I appreciate everything you do, simply being here in the chat at this moment or rewatching this on the replay. I greatly appreciate your participation. But Yemen is a story we need to continue to speak out about, and I will talk about it every single day if I find something relevant to talk about in regard to exposing what's truly going on there. So let's move on to the next story, coming from MiddleEastMonitor.com, entitled, U.S. Refused Visa to Palestinian Officials Attending and Planning to Speak at a UN Meeting. Yet another example of absolute bias in regard to a specific side of a very relevant argument. And a lot of information demonstrating, mountains of information and evidence and facts demonstrating that these, in fact, are the people that are on the victim side of it all, being attacked by Israeli forces, being occupied by Israeli forces. But regardless of your opinion of the larger discussion points between Israel and Palestine, what we're seeing in this story is quite profound in regard to international law and international norms. and how the U.S. and Israel simply is above them or beyond them and is not held to the same standards, which is an important point to truly understand. So six Palestinian officials who were scheduled to give a presentation at the UN office in New York have in fact been denied visas by the U.S. without any explanation. The officials were due to attend a high-level meeting on development yesterday to present a report on Palestinian implementation of UN goals for 2030. In their absence, Palestinian UN Ambassador Riyad Mansour had to step in and make the presentation on behalf of Palestine, which has non-member observer status at the United Nations. Mansour broke the news to reporters and said that, quote, the Israeli occupying power also complicated the matter by refusing to allow several of the experts to go to Jerusalem to check on their visas, knowing that this is how this would play out, clearly orchestrated and planned by Israel and the United States, which is my opinion, observing the facts in front of us. Seems pretty clear to me. Mansour said that as the host country, the UN has violated the U.S., has violated the UN agreement by refusing entry to a delegation from one of the members of the world body, which is literally the point of what's going on here in regard to the United Nations, which is not an advocation for the United Nations, as plenty of people seem to recoil when I even bring up the name United Nations. I've said many times, it is clearly a toothless tiger. It is clearly part of the problem. But that does not mean that actual people with good intentions try to still use it for their benefit, which they should. But it's clearly not working for them, as clearly the United States and Israel are not held to the same standards as anybody else, and they use their power on the world to make this kind of thing happen. They simply just refuse their visas to not allow them to come and take part in this discussion. It's reported that Mansour will send a letter of protest to the General Assembly Committee dealing with the host country relations, which likely will see nothing come of it, as we've seen many times in the past. But it just goes to show you how these things actually work. As everybody tries to talk about how Palestine, you know, if they go through the proper channels and, you know, all this stuff, these kind of nonsensical arguments they make about these one side of these arguments, whether you're talking about Palestine and Israel or Yemen and Saudi Arabia or any number of different things like this, where there's clearly a side with the majority of the power in regard to the discussion. So how are these oppressed people supposed to take action to rectify the situation when the very means by which they have to do so are rigged against them? And then when they're forced to take action outside the legal framework, they're cast as terrorists by those who are actually murdering their families and suppressing their voices. This is the reality of the world today. And this is why this childlike mentality about doing things through the proper channels that are controlled by the very people who have a very clear agenda doesn't seem to be working very well. For this exact reason. So it just goes to show you how these things are being stifled. And we have to be able to recognize the information in front of us and see how these things are very one-sided, especially in institutions that pretend to be about the larger concept, such as the United Nations, largely controlled by people like the United States and Israel. So these people like the Palestinians simply have no way to get there. They just deny their visas. Israel won't allow them to go to Jerusalem to even check on the status. It just doesn't happen for them because they're being controlled and managed by much larger forces with all of the power. It's frustrating to see. And I'm going to continue to talk about this one as well, because there's a very clear right and wrong in this discussion, morally right and wrong about what's going on and how much of the power of the world is ignoring their plight. And it's very, very frustrating. Hopefully you in the chat will continue to spread this information and get the word out there, because everyone in the world deserves freedom and liberty and safety for their families, for their children, regardless of what they believe and where they're from. If they're seeking peace in their lives, they deserve peace from everybody else. And this is a disgusting display of power being used for political purposes, as opposed to actually protecting people like they pretend to be. Moving on to the next story, coming from antiwar.com, another one that I briefly touched on in one of my last shows, and actually, frustratingly enough, forgot to talk about this link in the show, which I promoted this concept. So I wanted to drive this home. It's a little bit of an older article, but very important nonetheless. And it shows you, again, the reality behind the actions, or rather what motivates the actions we're seeing around the world, at least in a large degree. Entitled, U.S. Airstrikes Continue to Rise Precipitously in Afghanistan. As the article was shared by the anti-media, their title was more apt, I think, in saying simply that the U.S. airstrikes continue to increase in Afghanistan as the airstrikes decrease in Iraq and Syria, making a very clear point that when they lose one means of war, they simply find another one, as Afghanistan's been embroiled in war for over 17 years now. And as I recently pointed out, their civilian deaths are higher than they've ever been at this point, showing you that the liberating of Afghanistan is not really going well for them, because clearly that wasn't the point at all. There's many other aspects you can get into, the opium, or I believe they just found, there's resources involved in all of these. I recently saw an article about massive stores of lithium being found. The point is the United States government seeks out these places for geopolitical control and resources, as well as other things involved that are much harder for people to wrap their minds around. But the point here is that they just simply shift over. They got to put those bombs somewhere because there's people's money depending on it. Lobbyist groups, munitions groups, defense contractors, as they're currently dropping more bombs than any other president in history. Got to find somewhere for them as the military-industrial complex continues to control our foreign policy, the U.S. government's foreign policy around the world. So new data from U.S. Air Force Central Command once again confirms a trend of escalating U.S. airstrikes against targets specifically inside of Afghanistan. The data shows 2,911 munitions have been dropped in Afghanistan so far in 2018, which is a lot in any context. The 2,911 is not only a substantial increase from this time in 2007, but also would be higher than any other year since Central Command started keeping track of munitions dropped back in 2013, which you should also ask why it took all the way till 2013 to track the bombing of other countries and to what degree it was happening. Interesting nonetheless. This trend is ultimately not surprising. The U.S. airstrikes were soaring in Syria and Iraq until late 2017 and have now started to decline in large measure as ISIS targets shrink, despite them still being protected in a large way, as we showed yesterday, in Syria and other places by the U.S. forces. And clearly, like we just saw in the beginning video, by Israel themselves. And now instead of cutting strikes overall, CENTCOM is simply shifting to focus on Afghanistan, where 17 years plus of war, the Taliban still has vast amounts of territory to target. Now, you could discuss why, whether that's been allowed. As we know very clearly, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, completely funded and kept alive by the Western powers and created in a large degree, almost entirely, as far as I'm concerned. So clearly there's a reason they're left there. But either way, even if you think that's not the case, 17 years in and they have more presence now than they ever have. How do you reconcile that with this effort to liberate the country that's in chaos? Just like we talked about Iraq the same way. All indications are that the escalation of strikes in Afghanistan is only likely to continue and escalate, despite the Taliban controlling more territory now than ever before, like I just said. The point here is that this is how these things work. They simply need to find a place to continue to bomb, continue to increase the need, at least on paper, for more military spending. And it's blatant. This information is impossible to misunderstand if you have the eyes to see what's really going on in front of you. Why? So ask yourself why they weren't all of a sudden bombing Afghanistan a year ago. I mean, they were, but not to this degree. Why? How coincidental is it that this drastic escalation in bombing in Afghanistan happens to perfectly coincide with the de-escalation, in other countries? Coincidences don't exist, people. I mean, clearly there is such a thing as a coincidence. But in this regard, we should not ever just be like, oh, it's a coincidence. There's meaning to everything. And this is directly tied to the military-industrial complex, as well as many other things. But for those out there that are new to this channel or new to this information, that's the easiest part to wrap your mind around. There is money to be made here, and there is no money in peace. So they're always looking for ways to continue to find more war. Side note, I even just saw today that Pompeo was talking about finding ways to drag out the discussions with North Korea indefinitely if possible. Just showing you ultimately that they have no desire for peace in any possible way. That is the facts on the table. Look for yourself in our history. Regardless of what they say, actions are what truly matter. Let's get on to the next story, and I believe the final story for the day, also coming from Mint Press News, entitled New Study Finds Links Between Roundup Glyphosate Herbicide and Fetal Defects. Not that this is probably shocking to too many of you out there, as we know that there are massive lawsuits underway for Monsanto, now Bayer. But the reality is that there is mountains of evidence to very clearly show that this stuff is not safe for you. Yet, in fact, it's everywhere. As I've shown many times over, and we'll include links in the show notes, it's in the clothes you're wearing right now. It's in the air you're breathing. It's in the food you're eating. Even organics. 10 times over, this has been proven. Every single organic wine in Napa Valley was tested, and every single organic wine in Napa Valley came back positive for glyphosate. Every member of parliament took a piss test, and guess what? Every single one of their urine tested positive for glyphosate. It's in the cotton, it's in every single thing around you. And whether that was the intention or not, it's clearly gotten out of hand. And the point is, they claim, oh, well, these small amounts, it's, you know, not, it's safe for you, it's just, you know, small doses. Maybe that's the case, which I argue is simply not true. Even if it is, they don't take into effect how much it compounds in your system, how much it stays in your system, and how much it's everywhere around you, and everything you're eating and breathing and looking and wearing. We have to recognize that. And now we're seeing that a new study added to the list, the completely ridiculously growing list of facts and proof and studies that show this stuff, it is now showing fetal defects. It's just too much to grasp. This is how our system works, where these powerful people can pay for their own studies, can manipulate the institutions to come out and simply ignore this stuff. And we've known this for a very long time. So a new study conducted by Argentinian researchers has found that glyphosate, the controversial herbicide marketed by Monsanto, which I said is now Bayer, as Roundup, which is, I mean, there's commercials all over the place. I've seen the regular TV, on the internet. They're still very clearly pushing Roundup everywhere they can. Causes significant damage to pregnant lab rats and their fetuses at relatively low doses. Now, obviously, people will say, oh, well, lab rats aren't people, but there is still very relevant information in regard to studies just like this. And there are plenty of studies that also show the effects on people. But this study is very profound for a few specific reasons. The study, which was published in Archives of Toxicology, found that not only was the female fertility of pregnant rats impaired, but fetal growth was retarded and malformations were detected in their second generation offspring. So take a moment and grasp what that means. Not just the rats they are testing it on, but the next generation also had verifiable defects, fetal defects in their offspring, the second generation, showing you that this lasts much longer than just your current doses and on your body and the things you're eating. Your children, your offspring are also affected by what's happening here. They did multiple studies using a high and low dose, yet both within what they call the no observed adverse effect level, the NOEL, which the term itself I find offensive, the no observed adverse health effects. Observed. Now, who controls that observation, right? But just because there's no observed adverse health effect, let's just use it in every possible facet all around the world. Until we find something we can prove, until we can, you know, till we work hard enough to get out the facts we already know as they fight against us. Oh, now there's an observed one, but guess what? It's too late. It's in everything around the world. There's also topics we could discuss about the Terminator seed, these things that they pretend are not real. But in fact, there's plenty of evidence to show that they created this concept of a Terminator seed that basically wouldn't allow a second generation of growth. And they just claim that they shelved the project because they weren't going to sell it. Now, who truly believes that they would just shelve the product? People actually fight that that's a fake concept. It's in their own information. Do your research. They created a seed that would basically not allow farmers to be able to grow a second generation with the seeds. They want them to come back and buy new seed from Monsanto. They simply claim they just didn't sell it because of whatever implications. They just chose to shelve it instead. But it exists. So ask yourself if that's possible. Think of the repercussions of having something like that that could spread, and all of a sudden you have an entire world of food that can't be reproduced. You can't simply grow new seeds. That's a very dangerous concept. Or not grow new seeds, but take the old seeds from your growth and plant them again. It's a dangerous concept. Now, I don't pretend to be an expert on any of this stuff, but the research is all there for you to look at. People will come in very aggressively with this kind of thing, especially in regard to the Terminator concept, and claim you're a conspiracy theorist. As I said, all the information is there. Do your research. It's on the web. It's on Monsanto's information themselves. But getting back to this concept with glyphosate, it is everywhere today. And they're simply saying no observable adverse health effects in these levels, under the NOEL levels. This study did them at both high and low doses under that supposed level. The result led authors to claim that the industry declared NOEL for maternal toxicity is simply unreliable, given that the high dose that resulted in abnormalities was significantly lower than the NOEL. 200 milligrams they used, and 1,000 milligrams was the supposed NOEL. Notably, industry studies that determined that the NOEL did not use glyphosate, but instead, I believe, if I mispronounce this, let me know, but I believe it's aminomethylphosphonic acid, AMPA, a degradation product of glyphosate. So they did this study where they claim the safe level is 1,000 milligrams. They didn't even use the product that we're currently using everywhere. Big surprise. The most striking findings, however, were the consequences seen in the second generation offspring, with all rats exposed to glyphosate, low and high doses, showing delayed growth, lower fetal weight and length, and a significantly higher rate of abnormalities of small fetuses, and on, all these different concepts, significantly higher in high and low doses. And in the high dose group, to the author's surprise, they claim severe malformations, such as conjoined fetuses and abnormal limbs. And this was detected in second generation offspring. That is incredibly horrifying. So think about, this to me screams the concept of the very eugenics depopulation agendas people have been talking about for a very long time. Whether this was the plan or this just got out of hand, the point is this is having a drastic effect on our future generations of our population, as we're completely consumed and surrounded by this product. The very product they're testing here, showing the second generation offspring problems. That's a horrifying concept. Then we have to consider the fact that well over one in every two people will get cancer before they die. That's not normal. People in this country specifically, I think it's even stronger in men, or one of them, men or women, has a higher level, but it's at least 50%. That's a horrifying thought. We'll get cancer. Not that this is necessarily connected, but consider the continually rising prevalence of autism in our society. These things don't just happen this way, at least not in this short period of time. Things are being done that are hurting us, and these people in political power are allowing it to continue for profit, control, lobbyists controlling them, any number of aspects. The point is they are ignoring the reality of what's going on for their own benefit, and that should horrify all of us. This story in general, I'll be sure and include a lot of the glyphosate information and articles we've published in the past, going back years ago, well back to even when it was first discussed that Roundup and glyphosate was considered potentially cancerous. And of course, then they pay people, verifiably so, to come out with articles that refute it based on nonsensical information. On and on and on this goes. But we know what's going on. We can see it in our society, in our continually, escalatingly sick society we're seeing today. It's horrifying. And we have to realize that. It's our job to spread this information as best we can. So to finish today, on kind of running on this same note of all the information being there right in front of you, you just choose to look at it. But more so in the concept that we need to be very critical of everything we look at, even stuff that continues to support what we believe is true. Now, this shouldn't be taken as, I'm not trying to attack any other websites. However, this is showing a negative thing of one specific website. But the reality here is that it's a point to make based on a lot of people that frame themselves as independent media and then knowingly mislead you. Even if they think what they're saying is true, even if you agree with the premise of their articles, they're giving you information that either makes a point that's not true or allows you to go down a path that is making you look more crazy to people you're trying to convince of the truth because it's based without facts. And there's a couple points on this article I want to make. Now, I thought about not even showing this because I don't want to give them any more promotion. But this article, coming from neonnettle.com, came out a couple days ago, entitled Rothschild's Ex-Wife Found Dead, Hanging from Doorknob at Home. Now, of course, everybody's, oh my God, you know, that's something we've all talked about. Talking about Kate Spade, and who actually did hang herself from a doorknob with her scarf, as the story goes. Point being that we can't truly know anything for sure. This is all coming from sources that could be compromised. But by all accounts, that happened to Kate Spade. And the same point, by all accounts, after I did my due diligence and researched this story, by all accounts, Rothschild's ex-wife actually had a heart attack or something to do with heroin overdose, some kind of a heart problem. You know, that's the way they frame, as they have for a while now with people in high positions, as, you know, heart failure, which ultimately stems to the drug use. It's a way of not saying they had a heroin overdose. But as I can tell, largely from mainstream articles that covered this, which, you know, could that be manipulated? Of course it could. Could Neon Nettle have some kind of a source that they know inside information and this is a big conspiracy covering it up? Of course that's possible. They don't link to that. They don't even insinuate that. They simply link to a Daily Mail article which mentions nothing of the kind. And yet they put this out there and people mindlessly follow this information. Again, could it be possible? Absolutely. Could the entirety of mainstream media be covering this up and selling you a false story? Absolutely. Very possible, especially with mainstream media. That being said, there's absolutely no information, as far as I can tell, to actually make the claim that she supposedly hung herself from a doorknob, which clearly is designed to get people to go, oh, another one. Here we go. Conspiracy. And on that same note, this is what happened when I tried to simply put a comment out. As you can see, I put, by all accounts, she died of a heart attack. Ultimately saying, due diligence, people. This seems like a blatant lie to me. There's no information to suggest what this is doing. Three times I posted that comment. Three times it got deleted. Now, again, I'm not trying to just call out Neon Nettle here. There's other sites, Drew Pundit, you know, Your Newswire. These sites, as far as I can tell, actively try to mislead you with information that very well may be true, but is not verified and is not even based in the facts of the story. When I say true, it may just be something we can all agree with. Are there people being killed by the government for information they may know? Are they being suicided with a scarf by a doorknob? I think that's probably likely. Is there evidence to support this case? Absolutely not, as far as I can tell. Does it mean it's not true? No, it doesn't. But we need to do our due diligence. We need to be smarter than this. In every possible regard, we need to do our due diligence. You need to go out and check my story. If I'm incorrect and I've misrepresented this, then tell me. Show me the evidence. I'm happy to come back on what I said. But this stems from a larger problem with these websites that I've seen many times, claiming anonymous sources, more than half the time never even coming to fruition. The point is they want to sell you information that reinforces these beliefs, largely conspiratorial. So almost in a backward way, make that story fake to people who actually, you know, or may be open to looking at it and may actually be a true story, but they give you information around it that it makes it look ridiculous, not based in the truth. This is how meta and deep these things go. These things are designed to discredit, debunk these stories by sharing information that we want to be true. Things like the Clintons and the Pope being arrested for this and that. Things that never actually come to pass. Doesn't mean it's not true. Absolutely not. But the point is that we have to be better than this on a daily basis. You guys watching this show, you know that I preach this every day. We need to be better than the mainstream media. We need to be better and smarter than this and check these things. People in the comments and all over this article, I mean, you just search that headline. You just search ex-wife of Rothschild's died. You get 25 different articles being shared that all link back to Neon Nettle, and this one article then leaks back to the Daily Mail, which has nothing of anything relating to even hanging or a doorknob. Everything I can tell shows that she died of a heart attack or heart failure, probably in connection to heroin, because she was verifiably a heroin addict. So it's just frustrating to see this, and people need to stop falling for this stuff. That's my rant for this at the end of the day. I just want you guys to be smarter. I don't want you to be misled by seeing things that we want to be true in regard to the Clintons or the FBI or these things that we already know these people are corrupt and they deserve to be brought down. but we see something that relates to Clintons and child trafficking or something, and we just immediately want it to be true and we share it. We need to do our due diligence in every possible way, even in regard to my content, especially in regard to my content. So take that in with you. Take it across your day. Take that in regard to everything you see on a daily basis. That's the only way we can move forward. That's the only way we can truly beat these people and succeed, to be smarter and better. I love you all. I appreciate you tuning in today. I appreciate your super chats and your support through PayPal, through Patreon, through any of that stuff, or simply sharing this video and being a part of this discussion. Make sure you tune in at least once throughout this week when I do my research and review, where I will actually answer questions and get involved with the chat. I truly appreciate all of you. And as always, make sure you check out the show notes and all the independent sources. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.